All right, Daddy, tell me a little bit about the saved money for charity when you first came.
You drop in whenever you want to. You drop in money in there.
And then who did you turn it over to?
People come around.
They came around. Were they synagogue people?
No, or? Honey, that's organization people.
Yeah.
That's our organization.
What organizations, though? Do you remember? I'm talking about, though, early when you were in Pittsburgh.
Well, they're the same people.
Same people.
Well, they were the same Pushkas, I think. In fact, Marek used to take care of them. I never took care of them. I was almost in the business.
All right. Now, when you first came and when you were first married, what did you do for relaxation and fun? And then what?
Working.
You worked very hard.
That's right.
Were you worried about money, Daddy?
No.
No?
No. I always had money whenever, I told you, whenever it would come around.
Yeah.
From then on, I didn't have no trouble. Even during depression, I was up on the top of the...
Is that right?
Oh, my goodness. In depression, we were up in the bucks.
Well, by then, you lived where? You lived in Wilkinsburg.
In depression, I lived in Wilkinsburg.
All right, now I'm going to ask you about your children.
Okay.
And I know the answers, but I'm still going to ask you.
Okay.
What kind of Jewish education did your children get?
They used to have a rabbi coming into the house. Now, wait a minute. Jerome. They used to have a special rabbi coming in till he was bar mitzvah.
I see.
Marvin went to Bechor.
And what kind of a regular education did your children get?
What do you mean by regular?
Public school education.
Well, they went to public school.
Yeah.
And Jerome went to public and high school in Wilkinsburg.
Yeah.
Marvin went only to the, I don't know, he was 9 years old, what they could be, I don't know. And then he started and went to Whiteman.
Yeah.
Then he went to Tel Aviv.
Yeah, and then where?
And then he went to the pit.
And they're both lawyers.
Pit.
Yeah.
They're both lawyers.
Yeah. All right. That's what I wanted you. And do you, what would you say are the big differences in the way you raised your children and the way you were raised, the way you were raised in Europe?
Oh, my children were raised very good. So I was raised very good.
You don't see a big difference?
I wouldn't say it was a big difference. I was raised very well in Europe. We were never in need. And so were my children.
Yeah.
We were never in need. We always had enough to give them.
Daddy, do you ever remember having any difficulties in raising your children due to the fact that you were an immigrant? Did you ever find any problems connected with that?
Nothing at all. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever. We didn't have no problem at all. In fact, when we were working with them, we didn't have a problem. I don't think they even knew I was an immigrant.
Uh-huh. They knew you were Jewish, didn't they?
Oh, my. Yes. Sure.
Do you think they treated you differently for that reason?
No, in fact, we were treated nice. We were treated nice. Everybody else used to say, how do you live in an anti-Semitic town like that? Cooked down. We never had no trouble.
None at all, Dad. How about the boys?
Well, Jerome used to fight with some kids in school. They used to beat him up at first. Then mother, she got after them. We didn't bother them anymore. In fact, Jerome used to go to the boys. And you know that they wouldn't give him no ham sandwiches. They used to give him cheese sandwiches.
Is that right?
Well, they used to go out. You know, I don't know how many. I don't think there was very many more in his class. And he used to go to their parties and all. Uh-huh. And they wouldn't give him no ham sandwiches.
Isn't it?
No.
Now I'm going to ask you about your citizenship. How did you acquire your American citizenship? And how long was this after you came to this country?
Well, you had to be, I think it was 5 years' time before it became. I had to take my first papers out, and then I got my second papers, I think, long after that.
Did you?
Yeah. The first papers I got right away.
Was there any reason for the... I see.
It wasn't required.
Uh-huh. And when did you first vote? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't really remember. In fact, I was always too busy to vote.
And to what party did you belong?
What party?
Political party.
Democrat.
Why?
Because I wanted to be a Democrat. I don't know.
You don't know, Daddy?
No, I don't know why.
All right. Because Wilkinsburg is Republican.
Yes, and I was always a Democrat.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right.
They knew it, too.
And were you active in this party at all?
No. Never used to mix in politics in Wilkinsburg.
Now, I want you to think way, way back. What prominent Americans of this period stand out in your mind? I'm talking about when you were early in this country.
What do you mean, what party?
No, what prominent people, Americans, any heroes or gangsters or anybody?
Well, I'll tell you something. We were always working. We never mixed with anything. We never mixed in politics. We never mixed in anything. I was just a Democrat, that's all.
Yeah.
I never mixed in any politics.
Uh-huh. And when you first came here, there was nobody outstanding in your mind that you can think of? The President of the United States?
I knew the presidents. When we came here, President Wilson was there.
Did you admire him?
I didn't know what to admire or not. I was working.
I see.
That's all I knew. I was working.
Yeah. It's really just in recent years you've relaxed, really.
Sure. since I retired.
Now.
Because when I was with Jake, you know.
Yeah.
It was easier, but I still worked. I still worked really hard.
All right. Now I'm going to ask you some questions about Negroes. When did you first see a colored person?
I'll never forget that. Was a
yeah?
We were all of Franklin Street, you know.
Yeah.
All these immigrants. The colored person came in there. Boy, and everybody started to laugh.
Is this in New York?
No, Pittsburgh.
And everybody started to laugh.
And everybody started. They came out with such a laugh. It was terrific.
Where was this?
In school.
Right
in school. You've never seen a colored fellow, you know. Where did I see a colored fellow? In New York, I was between Jews.
Yeah, in a completely Jewish neighborhood.
Completely Jewish neighborhood. You know, Elwood Street, Essex Street, all those streets.
How did you feel that they were different from the people that you knew?
Oh, the color. And just because he was black.
It struck you funny.
Yeah, that was very funny. I can't understand why. Never seen one. You know, you never. In those days, you never seen one. You didn't see one in. I don't think you even seen one in Ellis Island. I don't think so. I don't remember seeing one.
Did when any come? Oh, I'm sorry. Go
it's
on.
All right. And when we came to school, and when he came in, probably a porter or something, you know. Oh, boy, everybody shot. It's funny. That's a time I'll never forget.
Did any colored people ever work for you, Daddy?
Oh, yes. Worked for me. No, they didn't work for me. Used to unload the trucks.
Uh-huh.
Used to give them a few cents to put on the truck. It's
Did you know any colored person very well aside from loading trucks or something like that?
Oh, yeah. We used to have customers.
Customers?
Yes. We used to have customers.
And were you friendly with them,
yes,
Daddy?
Yes, very friendly. Very friendly.
You knew their whole families?
Yes, I knew a lot of colored people in Brooklyn.
I see.
We were very friendly. We used to come in at the store. Really, we never had no trouble with them. Never.
Did any of the first friends you made remain your friends all through your life? Your friend, you know, the New York group or?
No, not the New York group. In fact, the other one I lost and I never find him again. My cousin and the other cousins, I was there and I never saw him again. When I got married, you know, all these, we left them. And of course, we had friends in Wilkinsburg. All of us together. We had a lot of friends in Wilkinsburg. We used to play cards together.
With whom did you celebrate your Seders when you first came?
With our parents.
Pardon?
With our parents.
And before that, Daddy? With Lane? Do you remember?
I don't remember anything about a Seders. I guess it was in the same place, you know, mm-hmm. Lennis' family. I mean, there was my mother's, stepmother's uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure that I was there because I used to eat there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got married, we used to go up to her parents.
I see. And during the first 5 years, did you maintain any contacts with people in Europe?
Well, let's see. I couldn't when it was the war.
I see.
But the first 5 years with them. First 5 years, I think I didn't get anything. First couple of years, yes. But the rest of it, it was the war, and I couldn't. In fact, I sent him a letter with money, then I got an answer. That was already in the, it was past 5 years, around that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I got in touch with my father, sent him money, he says, I don't need your money, but he kept it.
And your brother in Israel, I know you kept up with.
Oh, sure. I used to write a lot.
Do you write to any cousins or anybody in Europe now, Daddy?
Not in Europe. Only Israel.
During the first 5 years you were here, Dad, what was your main worry, your main problem?
The main problem the first 5 years, there wasn't much of a problem. I worked, and I made money. Didn't make too much, but I was satisfied. First 3 years, I told you how much I made, $6 a week before. Then I opened up the business and went along fine, and I made a couple of $1,000. I was satisfied. Then I started to work for Senders. Before I even started to go with the mother, I started to work with Senders because I separated with my partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to New York. When I came back to New York, I started to work with Senders. I worked there, I think it was over a year.
Well, unless there's something else you want to tell me that stands out in your mind about coming to Pittsburgh or settling in Pittsburgh,
I was going to tell you is about the way I come into Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
That was the funniest thing.
Well, I'm glad you made it.
I made it, that's right. Believe me, I made it.
It was my game.
I'd like to speak a couple of achievements of this class which are really outstanding nationally. As you know, each year the National Merit Scholarship Qualifying Test is given in high schools throughout the United States. The spring of the year when this class participated as 11th graders, 804,000 students participated in this throughout the United States. They represented some 17,400 different high schools. Of this 804,000, 14,134 received the designation of National Merit Finalist. This is less than one per school, and it represents the top 0.5% of all of the pupils in this class or in the classes in the United States. As Danny told you a moment ago, we had 29 National Merit Finalists. This is almost 5% of the class. It represents the highest total in the state of Pennsylvania and one of the highest in the nation. In addition to the people who received the finalist grading, 24 others in the class won letters of commendation. This is on a level just a little bit below the finalists, but still in the top 2% of seniors throughout the nation. A second scholarship competition in which this class engaged was the Exceptionally Able Youth Examination given by the Civic Club of Allegheny County. 26,000 seniors in Allegheny County were considered, or of 26,000 seniors in Allegheny County, 2,000 were nominated for consideration for this award. 500 of this 2,000 were named as reaching the award level. This is one of every 520 seniors in the county. 52 of that 500, over 10%, were from Alderdice High School, and four of the 52 awardees from Alderdice were in the top 10 of the 500 winners. These are records of which this class and we are certainly proud. That is why I call your attention to them tonight, and without citing individual members of the class, certainly the class as a whole can be proud of their achievements. Now, in addition, members of the class have received numerous awards, citations, and honors in local, regional, and state competition in English, mathematics, the sciences, history, art, music, home economics, industrial arts, in fact, all fields in which we have participated. A total of 58 members of the class have earned varsity awards in 9 different varsity sports. I say again that we are justly proud of them, and I know you, their parents, and their friends must also be. Now here tonight as representative of the Pittsburgh Board of Public Education is Mr. Clark Cogan, Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Schools. Mr. Cogan, it is now my privilege as principal of Alderdice High School to present to you this June 1967 class. They have met the requirements for graduation as established by the Pittsburgh Board of Public Education. It is my recommendation on behalf of the faculty of Alderdice High School that they be declared duly graduated. Mr. Clark Hogan, Assistant Superintendent for Secondary Education.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. Members of the class of 67, parents, guests, and student speakers. It's with a great deal of humility that I approach this podium tonight. As you sit and listen to the following presentations that we've just heard, I am involved in mankind. I couldn't help but swell with pride as I heard Dr. Teal deliver this very, very impressive record of this class. I am truly impressed, and I'm sure you have a right to be proud of this group of outstanding seniors. But more than just the intellectual power represented by this, I'm sure all impressed with the sensitivities and concerns of this class as represented by the speakers this evening. I had prepared a few notes, but I think I'll spare you from my address because really I think they have expressed so much better than I could possibly have the major message of this day and perhaps of this era. On the other hand, perhaps I ought to mention a little bit about how we as educators see our young people today. I think that you would agree with me that the future of our nation is indeed, of our community too, is assured if the quality of our future leadership matches that of the speakers of the evening. No man is an island unto himself is truly the essence of education. Certainly in the areas of history, philosophy, and the sciences, man's interdependence on man is the greatest message of all education. The principle is also obvious in economics. Our economic interdependence is sometimes threatened, and then we realize the terrible import of this. Man's reach, on the other hand, for a formula to solve his cultural conflicts, of course, exceeds his grasp. And of course, today, how timely this is as we think of the Middle East crisis, the crisis in Vietnam, and the concern of the United Nations. Truly, our hope for the future, then, lies with the generation represented by this class. So it is extremely heartening that they have developed such a remarkably high degree of sensitivity to all the social issues, illustrated by their choice of the subject. The depth of their probing, the confidence of their observations, and the commitment implied in their search for solutions combined to strike an optimistic note in this pessimistic world. Those of us who have been privileged to work in daily contact with our youth cannot fail to applaud their idealism. Not always do we fully understand, however, their intellectual potential. Specifically in relation to education, the senior of 1967 is a different person than he was two decades ago in 1947. Perhaps the greatest basic difference is modern youth's awareness of political issues, both national and international. To say that he is confused is really to beg the issue. Perhaps, on the other hand, he's less confused than the adult world in terms of his knowledge and sensitivities to major international and social issues. But even this is not the distinguished characteristic as we compare youth of today with 20 years ago. I can recall vividly some years ago as a social studies teacher deploring a lack of interest by high school students, my students in my classes, in national and international affairs, and contrasting what I thought was their lethargy in comparison with the European youth, who are much more active in their search for answers. Not only are these young people more knowledgeable, but they have a very real compulsion to action, noted, I think, by one of two of our speakers. Of course, we can all see the outward manifestations of this new instinct as youth marches in support of, or in protest of, current political and social issues. Strongly related to these outward manifestations of youth's search for identity is his basic need to protest what he considers a conservative and confused adult world. Basically, I think perhaps he's searching for a new dimension of personal freedom. Freedom to express his individuality, and also freedom to challenge all the traditional social restrictions and inhibitions. As youth searches for his identity and related freedoms, he is, in essence, searching as well for a better world for all of us. If this generation of high school youth, who are better informed, better adjusted, and better motivated, continue their commitment to the solution of our problems, then truly we may look ahead to a better community, a better nation, and a better world. With these brief comments, again, it is a pleasure to represent the Board of Education and the Superintendent this evening, and perhaps we should move to the moment for which we've all prepared, and that is the authorization to class. Dr. Teal, members of the faculty, members of the class of 67, by authority of the Board of Education and at the recommendation of the faculty, it's my pleasure to certify this 1967 class as graduates of Taylor Holliday High School with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto. May I add my congratulations and best wishes.
Thank you, Mr. Cook. This time, diplomas will be presented to the graduates by Mr. Del Wilson, Mr. Fred Scherer, Mr. Peter Constantino, vice principals at the school, and by me. The graduates will be introduced by Mr. Adolf Blumenfeld, a counselor at Alderdice, and by Mr. Joe Thompson, English teacher at Alderdice. May I ask during this ceremony that the audience please withhold all applause until all the diplomas have been presented.
There he goes, first one.
Joan Allison.
James Lieber.
Ellen Lehman.
William Rosen.
And graduating with low honors, ugly Clarence.
Now the four class officers, these are the elected leaders of this class, and they have done an outstanding piece of work during the year. The class has been in exceptionally fine hands with these four people as their leaders. Call them first. The treasurer of the class, Sam Edelman. Secretary of the class, Marilyn Krasikoff. Vice president of the class, Alan Kaplan. And last of all, the man who has been first in the hearts of the class for the year, your president, president of the June graduating class, Walter Dice High School for 1967, Danny Renard. I think it would now be appropriate for the audience to join with me and the rest of us who are interested spectators in acknowledging the work of the class and their final, reaching their final goal with our applause at this time for all of the graduates.
The end. Igor, thank you. This has been Jim Lieber's graduation. Paul Lieber now signing off. Thank you.